Hey guys, as you notice, Bob is gone, and Aaron and everybody, they're on a retreat for the mission trip, so you can be in prayer for them. But we have a speaker today, Mr. Jeff Lawler, Big Bad Jeff Lawler. He's going to speak to us, I believe, on relationship with parents. So if you guys could give him your attention, that would be awesome. If you could turn your chairs so that you can face him and just listen to what he has to say. I think that's it. Yeah, thanks, guys.
It's got a little movie we
made. Right into
junior homework yet? Homework, you say, Mother?
Well, yes, of course I need my homework. And I ate all my vegetables. But if you say that I should study more, then that's okay.
Yeah. Kristen, you should totally dump Steven.
Hey, Brian, you're not doing anything.
Homework, vegetables, and the dishes? All in one day? Of course!
Run!
Best rules of any mom that I know. Unbelievable. It is 10 o'clock. I want to take out the trash. Let's see. Left hand. Left foot? No. Left hand? You're not the boss of me. Or not the boss. I think one more. Left foot. It's not gonna happen.
I cannot believe that. It's like it falls again. That'd be so funny.
Okay. How were those, huh? You guys relate to any of that?
Yes.
Just a little bit?
A lot. Mostly reaction B.
Reaction B. Grab a stool here. I think I'm on. Hey, thanks for having me today. I know you didn't get a lot of choice in the matter, but Bob asked me to fill in a little bit, and I said, Bob, I don't know about my qualification. He said, well, you have six kids. And I do have six kids. Three were already teenagers, or now they're in their 20s. I have one teen, Daniel. So most of you might know me as, rather than Jeff Lawler, Daniel's dad. And a daughter that would like to be a teen. She's 12. She tries to act like a teen. So anyways, with that, I said, I think I can do it. And I understand you guys are talking a little about relationships. And so one of the things that is near and dear to my heart is relationships in families. And I'll tell you a little bit more about my story as we go through. But one of the things I wanted to ask you guys kind of at your table to help me with is kind of get an idea of your folks. And so I asked one question. I'd like you to go around again by yourselves, and we'll get back together again here in a minute. But if you can let me know, or let each other know to start with, one crazy thing that your parents did, either you might have seen him do it or maybe you didn't see him do it. Like when I was in college, I jumped out of an airplane. Sorry, Daniel. Did you know that? I don't know if you knew that or not. I jumped out of an airplane. Obviously, I had a parachute, so that was good. But anyway, so if you can go around your table, share one thing that maybe is a famous person that your parents met, or maybe it was some wild place they went to. But just go around the table real quick and share that, and then we'll get back together again real quick. Thanks. Okay, let's get back together again. I'd just like to hear a couple. Quick ones. No, I don't want to hear yours again. Okay, you guys got one?
Okay, one time for Halloween, my mother decided to dress up as a pregnant nun.
A pregnant nun.
Now that's scary.
You'll
see the pictures.
That's pushing the envelope a little bit.
And also the second grade, she dressed up as a giant baby. Can be up
the school. Got it. Okay, anything else? What did you guys have?
In high school, this dude clipped my mom's desk while she was in it and almost cracked her head open on a heater. So she chased him all through the school and beat him up.
That's good. Anything else? This table.
I actually had an older brother older than Brad, but among my family missionaries in Papua New Guinea, they were attacked by a tribe and had to sacrifice their firstborn.
It's tough, tough story. But, you know, some kids have to pay the ultimate price. Any others? Go ahead.
My dad had an afro.
Your dad had an afro. I did too. Wanted to share that. Yeah, real early. In the back. Hey, I think I still have more hair than Aaron. I'm not sure, though. Pretty crazy. Okay. Hey. Talk louder. She told you to go to the room because she took out the trash. Must be a deeper meaning there somewhere. Okay. And we didn't get any good Bob Scholl stories. That's too bad.
Come on.
Give us one. Nothing?
Come on.
Gonna have to wait till later, I guess. Okay.
Our pastor warning.
Thought it was. We gotta have one more. Okay, real quick.
That one.
If you don't want to do it, that's fine. Kind of embarrassing.
What were they thinking?
Okay, my mom has met like 6 or 7 past Olympians. This one
past Olympians.
Well, like she went to high school with one guy from the 1970 something.
Is she athletic too?
Well, yes and no.
Okay. Thanks. You know, relationship with, I think you guys are talking a little about that, relationships in general. And, you know, it's the relationships with your folks is one of those that we all are called to deal with. And, you know, God deals on both sides. He tells, you know, us as teens and or you guys as teens to honor your parents. And he deals with us as parents. There's many verses, but one is, you know, fathers, do not exasperate your children. You know, so there's both sides of that. And, you know, we all would like our relationships better than they are. I don't think I've ever met a parent that said, hey, you know, especially with teens, my relationship is, you know, as strong as it could be. And definitely with teens, I went on summer camp this past year, and that was probably a good theme in our group most of the time was, you know, struggling with those relationships with parents that you guys wanted to, you know, improve and get better. So, yeah, that's right. There was a couple, we did that focus a couple years ago on that. So, you know, we all struggle with that. And I know that some of you guys here, you know, are in tough situations. Not everyone has, you know, necessarily parents that that honor God. One of the things that I dealt with as a kid is I was didn't become a believer until I was a sophomore in high school, and my parents weren't. And after I became a believer, I was like, oh, well, God's going to take care of this relationship with my folks. And all of a sudden, though, you know, they heard me talking about this guy, Jesus, and they were like, what's with that? You know, you're kind of weird. And they didn't really understand that personal relationship you could have with God. And so I was, instead of this thing kind of bringing us together, all of a sudden walls were put up between us. And I didn't know how to deal with that. And I think a lot of you guys, there's walls there that are between you and your folks, and you don't know where to go. You don't maybe don't know what to do, take the next step. And, you know, there's things that obviously your parents can do, and there's things that you can do. And that's what I want to focus on today, though, is you guys. And things that potentially you could think through and look at improving that. One of the things that I did as a believer that I think a lot of us do, too, is we sort of obey, sort of like that video, we obey sort of on the surface level, but in essence, we're really not obeying. We're not honoring our parents. And, you know, as young kids, you know, my younger kids, you know, they basically obey us sometimes. But honoring is a completely another, completely different level. And so I obeyed them when I was in high school, but I really didn't honor them. So what I want you to do, guys to do is to talk a few minutes. I want you to talk with about three things, and I'll throw them up here. But the first one is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your relationship with your folks? Okay, so that's number one. So again, a 1 would be that you are ready to move out and your parents are helping you pack your bags. Okay, so that's number 1. 10 would be your parents trust you so much that they've given you their credit card and you have unlimited money. Okay, so that's sort of the two scales, and I think everyone's sort of in between there somewhere. So that's the first one. Second is, what have you done to keep the score low? In other words, sort of on your side of the equation, what are things that you're doing or maybe not doing to keep that score down? And then the last question is, what are steps you could do to move the score higher? Okay, and we'll talk a little, we'll look at the word in a few minutes, but I want you guys to just think that through a little bit. So take a few minutes, go around. You can do all three questions at once, or you can take one at a time. Can you guys throw the questions up just so they have them? Okay, 1 to 10, score it. What do you do to keep the score low? And what steps could you do to move it up? Okay? Thanks.
I don't realize.
Yeah.
I think he's around.
Do yourself, please.
I haven't. ways I could make it better is when they make me mad, I could just kind of like chill out and just not try to do it. I could like chill out and tell them.
She don't know why I'm upset,
because like usually when they do that, I like just shut down. I'm just like glare at them while they're talking to me.
Don't ask.
Talk about your family. They just make me so mad all the time. I have filled up journals upon journals upon journals. I have proof in my bag. Crap, just like I have to
journal. She reads it. There's journal and she's where she literally is
it's terrible. I hear that.
You're gonna do it.
I'm
why should you do that?
Hey, if you're not on the third question, try to move to that one. So we're going to talk a little about that out loud. So go to the what things you could do to move the score higher, okay? Mother's Day is coming up.
Thank you.
Okay, let's get back together. I heard some great ideas over here. I just wanted to throw out that last question and just to, you know, bounce some ideas off each other. So that last one is, you know, again, how would you, not your parents, you know, move that score up in your relationship? Anybody? Feel like they can... More time together. Yeah, I think there's studies out that dads are like 57 seconds a day or something like that.
We had three like the major things that we had was to be like more like responsive to our parents. Like when they tell us to do something, we're like, okay, I'm going to do that, and not like an hour into the future. And also with communication, being able to like talk to them and actually get points across without shutting down. And forgiveness was another one.
Okay.
Forgive them for their shortcomings when, you know...
We need a lot of forgiveness. That's right.
There's this thing called GoMyEnglish.com. It's like, the guy got off. And then he would talk about, like, verbal love, like, how to talk, like, to your parents, and, like...
We do need a lot of love.
Like, hugging your parents, or, like, other stuff. You know, like, what you have to do, everything like that.
Yep. I think you can communicate really negative, too, on the other side of that. Right, by just not even looking at them when you're talking with them. Anything else? You guys?
For me, it was just like making sure I don't worry them. Like, if I'm out doing something, make sure they know exactly what I'm doing, and like try and make sure I don't make them worried about it, because I don't want them to worry.
That's great. Parents do tend to do that a little bit. And you don't understand it until you have kids. Do you guys have?
Go ahead. Also, just, I guess, reaching out to your parents and encouraging them, and also letting them into your heart and knowing, letting them know what happened to encourage you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's hard. Right. Yeah, I think what it is, one of the hard things, especially at your guys' ages as parents, of understanding how much you guys know and think about that, you know, 5-7 years ago, you guys would have, you know, just would have gone,
you know, blown right by you. But now you guys hear things and feel things that are a lot, you're a lot more like adults. So, but we don't, parents don't necessarily treat you that way. Anything else? Okay. I want to look at a couple of, I should just say that I did a quick Google search on what was out there to help parents and teen relationships. Here's a couple really tremendous ones. Make a time capsule together. That sounds pretty exciting. Rearrange your teen's room. And this one is, I don't believe it was even there. Find shapes in the clouds together. There's a bonding experience. Okay. Let's, if you guys have your Bibles, I want to look at a couple verses. And again, this doesn't talk necessarily about teens and their parents, but turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. We do have Bibles somewhere if people want them. They don't have them, but... and again, this this is really about relationships in general. Not just with your folks, but I think sometimes we think, you know, the things that the Bible, God's Word says about relationships, sometimes maybe doesn't apply to your parents' relationship, but I think it really does. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I'll read it. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Okay. Just a couple things from this passage. Again, the beginning of this, the first three verses, just really talks about, you know, if you are serious about walking with God and your relationship with Christ, okay, these are some things that are following that you really need to take serious. Okay? So if you're a believer, these are some things you need to do. And the basic thought in this is in our relationships with each other, in our relationships with our parents, and this even involves our relationship with Jesus and his Father, is humility. And we'll talk a little about what humility is. What is the opposite of humility?
Pride.
Okay. So that's, I think, a lot of us, to when you look at your relationship with each other and look at the relationship with your folks, I think sometimes you think if you're talking about pride, you can see that very clearly, how that can put up walls and break, you know, put barriers between you and your folks. Whereas humility is just the opposite. It opens that relationship. There's another, we'll come back to that real quick, but 1 Peter 5, 16. Let's just go over a couple verses, a couple chapter books. 1 Peter chapter 5. Young men, I'm sorry, yeah, chapter 5, verse 5. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Because, and why is that? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time. So the quality of humility not only is critical in your relationship with your Heavenly Father, but it's also critical in your relationship with each other and definitely with your folks. So what is this? What are some things back in Philippians about humility that it points out here? In verse 3, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Okay, so what does selfishness look like in your relationship to your folks? You know, that is something that all of us struggle with, and it's not easy to do. You know, are you looking always to get your way? You know, that would sort of be, you know, a selfish attitude. Are you willing to yield to yourself to their authority? What drives your arguments with your parents? You know, is it your pride, or is it, you know, looking out, you know, for, you know, just your interests? Look down in verse 4 is another one that talks about, you know, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but the interests of your folks, or of others. Yeah, I've just put that in there, of your folks. But that's, I think, really hard for you guys to do. You know, my 7-year-old Brian has no clue what it means to look out for the interest of his parents. Most 10-year-olds don't know how to do that. But you guys are getting to a place where you really can see, you know, what, you know, sort of what you were sharing over here, that you can actually begin to see some needs that your parents have and can meet those needs. And that communicates volumes to your folks. As I was thinking about this too and talking about it again, I wish, you know, as I said earlier, that you know, I had a great relationship with my folks when I was in high school, and I really didn't. And God, a few years back, really challenged me in this area. And one of the things that it took a little while, but he was basically communicating, is he said, Jeff, I'd like you to write a tribute to your parents. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. You know, I could think of 1,000 reasons that my parents had failed when I was growing up. You know, just from their lack of faith in God and other things, you know, that they had done or not done. And but God kept on challenging me, and as usual, God's way, God happens with me at least, is he eventually gets his way. It takes me a little while. So I wrote this tribute, and it took me quite a while to come through that, and I didn't do it until their 50th anniversary. I gave it to them. And again, I thought this was, you know, a little thing that they would like, and, you know, kind of that's kind of nice. Well, it was unbelievable how it broke down walls that we had built up, even in my high school years, and what this faith that I had embraced in high school. And they really, I think, began to understand in some ways for the first time, and this was 30 years later, but because I was willing to humble myself and kind of, again, look at the things that they had done right, not just the things they had done wrong. And when I started to do it, too, it was amazing how many things, looking back, they really had done right in dealing with me growing up. And, you know, it hangs on their wall now, and, you know, it was a big, big deal. So, again, that was something that was, you know, that I had to come through. And, you know, my prayer for you guys is, you know, we'll talk a little about in a minute, but, you know, that you guys will think through some things that you can really positively do with your folks. One of the things, too, I think we have a real struggle with is appealing to our parents. Because a lot of times, maybe, you know, again, their decisions to begin with maybe weren't completely thought through. I admit that I do that sometimes. And how do you come back and appeal to your folks? And what is your attitude when you come back and do that? I had the opportunity to go to court with my mom a couple years ago, and she had some work done at her house, and this guy decided, I want all the money that you owe me before I'm going to finish the job. And my mom said, No. You know, he was kind of trying to take advantage of her, and she basically said, no, I'm not going to pay you it until you finish the job. Well, this went on for a little while, back and forth. Well, eventually she gets a notice in the mail, basically, I'll see you in court. I'm taking you to court, and I'm going to sue you to get the remaining money. And he had a bunch of other things he threw on there, you know, so it was thousands of dollars. So we went to court. And, you know, the judge is there, and, you know, we're on one side, and I'm kind of counseling my mom. And this woman that was running the business was on the other side. And she was my mom's, you know, in her probably late 70s. This woman was probably in her early 20s. So the court proceedings start, and within, like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes in, this woman starts to interrupt the judge. And, you know, I just like, oh, my gosh. I couldn't believe the boldness that this woman had. So, you know, he said, you know, you'll have your turn to speak, da-da-da. So he starts talking about, you know, just sort of the proceedings and everything. She interrupts him again. And, you know, so this happened like about three or four times. And finally the judge looked at her and said, you don't have any more chances. You need to shut up. And if you say another word, you're basically going to be, you know, we're going to haul you out of this courtroom, da-da-da-da. So she finally got the message. And you can imagine, guess who won the decision? You know, my mom is saying, yes, sir. You know, she's 78 years old, and she's paying the respect to this guy because of his authority in the courtroom. And, you know, it was just cut and dry. She won this case. Not only the guy have to finish the job, but he had to pay the money to my mom for coming to court, and basically was out, you know, thousands of dollars. And a lot of it had to do with this, with the head of the company that was speaking, basically had no respect for the authority. And I think a lot of times we act that same way with our folks when we ask for things or disagree with their decisions. Instead of coming to them and appealing in the right manner, we come with a very prideful attitude. So, again, my challenge to you is don't wait as long as I did to honor your folks. I know you guys probably, you know, some of you guys already do this. Some of you guys, again, are in very difficult situations where, you know, your parents aren't honoring God, aren't following God, and, you know, you're living in a hard situation. And it's really hard to honor someone that is, you know, maybe treating you, you know, pretty poorly. But you know what? God doesn't make excuses there and say, well, you need to honor them when they do this. Okay? He doesn't say that. He says, honor your folks. And I think, again, you'll be amazed how that will begin to change your relationships. Mother's Day is coming up. Again, a lot of opportunity. A lot of times, too, we think of things we can do rather than our attitude in doing those things. So one of the things, too, again, is, you know, maybe write, you know, a letter to your mom instead of going out and buying her a bunch of stuff, which, you know, she probably can't use anyways. You know, I'll tell you, that would speak volumes to her. What I want you to do, just real quick to close, is I want you to pray out loud for the person on your right at your table, and just about your relationship with your folks. And again, you know, we're not going to spend any time sharing any more, you know, details about what to pray for. I think kind of all of us know some of those things that are sort of core in our relationship with our folks, you know, our pride and just our attitude. So why don't we do that and take a few minutes, and then I'll close this in a couple. Thanks. So just pray for the person on your right and go around. Thanks. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time, and I thank you for the call in our lives. There's some of the things aren't easy, and Lord, again, it brings us back to you to be able to do some of these things, especially in relationship to honoring our folks. And I pray for each one here that you would be with them and in doing that you would just uniquely show them what that means in their relationship with their folks. And thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. And again, your call on our lives. We ask these things in your son's name. Amen.